Forever! Dog!
A killer is loose. He will strike again. This week on the podcast, Joan Lowrie Nixon's The Stalker.
Welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA pulp fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kaytai.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And this week on the podcast, we are discussing Joan Lowrie Nixon's The Stalker.
I will say, okay, for a little bit of behind the curtain.
Yeah. Right?
Before this started recording, we were scrambling looking for a log line from the various covers. Mm-hmm. And the one that we found, we might as well have made one up because that was really fucking bad.
I gotta be honest, he will strike. I don't even remember what you said.
Yeah. I didn't
think
you did.
That's it?
Yeah.
Good news.
It's nothing. It doesn't rhyme. It's not even.
It's not anything at all.
It's not anything.
Be something.
Yeah.
Oh, here's. Wait. What does this say on Amazon? So, is that from a review someone wrote? I don't know. Because in the Google summary on Amazon, it says, "What will it take to prove them all wrong?" 3 question marks.
My God, what will it take?
This is from a review, but I don't know which one. Because then it says, "The Stalker is a wonderful, nonstop mystery thriller with many unexpected twists and turns." Is it, though?
Is it, though? Or is
it... Did Joan write this review?
Or is it a cop buddy drama or buddy cop, but why? Right?
It a but why buddy cop drama?
Yeah, but why buddy cop drama?
Is it, but what are we doing here?
Because I know that, like, look, I know that it's very common in buddy cop things for, like, one of the buddy cop members is, like, a dog or, like, a pig or just, like, something like, that has, like, no business being involved in discovering what
she
a crime.
Didn't even ask to.
No.
That's what usually happens is it's, like, cop trying to figure it out. And the protagonist is like, "You need my help to crack this case."
Yes,
but
insinuating
in this case,
themselves.
We've got our girl Jennifer, who is just looking to hire a PI.
Yeah,
she's like, "I just want to prove that my best friend Bobby did not strangle her mother with the scarf that I gave her." So could you look into it? And he's like, "Yeah, here's what I'm going to need from you." And she's like, "Excuse me?"
Also,
and
okay.
We're like, "Excuse me?"
When he announces that she is his partner, this is a completely inept, even for a teenager with no interest in true crime. Okay.
Yes.
When he announces, so he announces this in front of other people too. So it's kind of like binding.
Like to her
it's
parents
like
parents and shit.
Yeah. 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 He's like, "You know, she's my partner." And everyone's just like, yes.
Okay.
But it's like, wait, no. So this is a like grizzled, retired, I'm too old for this. Kind of
yes.
And then this
and yet like
idiot,
immediately not too old for it.
Immediately not, because he's very he loves being a cop. He loves
yeah, he's ready to help.
Yeah. He, I guess he's
here's what I don't understand is like so she tells him a little bit about the backstory. He's like, "Interesting. Okay, I'm gonna look into it as well and I'll let you know." And then he looks into it and he's like, yeah, some things aren't adding up. I'm gonna tell the cops who I'm still on good terms with who are working on this case, I'm going to tell them that I don't fully think this adds up. So I'm going to keep working on the case just like in my free time for free. And they're like, "Oh, okay." And I'm like, "Well, if you think that's okay, why aren't you still looking into it?"
So that was the other thing was that there was like a lot of lost opportunity for conflict, which is weird to say, but it's true. Mm-hmm. Because he's like, "I'm going to investigate this case by myself, off the books. I'm a retired cop. And I'm."
While you're still like.
While
you've got your suspect.
Doing it.
And they're like, "We're fine with this."
Yeah, they're like, "Okay." And he's like, also, it's like he's trying to test them. He's like, and this teenager's my partner. And they're like, "Okay.
Like, sounds good." And he's like, interesting.
He's like, "We're going to do stakeouts where she has to like go and break into houses." And. Be such an idiot when
she's
it comes
such a little idiot
to any kind of like this bitch is acting like she is
has never heard of police work
She's acting like she's in the 1700s coming across a like murdered woman in an alleyway and is like touching everything. Like she's, you know what she's acting like? Ace Attorney.
She is acting like Ace Attorney.
Phoenix Wright. This is some
Phoenix Wright shit. She is Phoenix Wright-ing all over the place.
Yeah. She just collects whatever willy-nilly evidence. She also like, it's weird what evidence she's like, no, I must keep this a secret.
Yeah,
and then which evidence she's like, I must turn this over to my partner, the 67-year-old cop.
Lucas.
I must turn this over to Lucas.
Who I feel like she calls Lucas.
Yeah. No, she calls him that. She calls him that all the time. Okay, let me read the back of the book so we can have some. It basically gives the information we just gave, but what the heck. Jennifer Wilcox is shocked to hear that her best friend's mother, Stella Trax, has been strangled. Worse, Jennifer's friend Bobby, Stella's daughter, is accused of the crime. A killer is on the loose in the small Texas city of Corpus Christi, and Jennifer knows it isn't Bobby. Determined to expose the murderer, she sets off to find a clue on her own. Only then does she realize that the killer's been stalking her all along.
Interesting. I have a different back of the book.
Yeah, do yours.
Oh, dang. Guess what it has?
Oh, dang. Does it have a sticker?
It has a tagline.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Careful, careful, little girl. I'm keeping track of you.
Ew.
A killer is on the loose in the small Texas town of Corpus Christi. Jennifer Wilcox is shocked to hear that her best friend's mother, Stella Trax, has been strangled. She's even more horrified to learn that her friend Bobby, Stella's daughter, has been accused of the crime. With the help of Lucas Maldonado, a retired police detective, Jennifer sets out to prove Bobby's innocence. Just when they've gotten close to discovering the real murderer's identity, Jennifer becomes impatient and goes to search for a clue on her own.
Okay, well, this
only
is long.
Then does she realize that the killer has been stalking her all along. Lies. Lies.
Yeah. No, yeah.
This killer is making himself very known.
The killer's making himself very known. He also isn't really stalking her. He's more like keeping track of the, like, he's like incidentally stalking her.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Because he's more interested in finding the stuff.
Yeah. Why does he keep calling it the stuff like it's drugs? If I had like a bunch of stolen credit card numbers, I wouldn't call it the stuff.
No. I would say
call it the numbers.
The numbers or like the like documents or the papers or the cards or the numbers. Yeah. It's interesting the like world of crime that we're delving into, because
this is some real low grade shit.
It's so not, it's like the least cool.
I was also like, I don't know, just like let them keep doing it.
Dude.
Just like these people are like really broke.
Yeah. And yeah. And also like, God, I mean, I just felt like Jennifer's being such a fucking snitch. Like, just let it go.
I mean, I get that
she doesn't want Bobby.
Her like personal response to like figuring out that Bobby is involved in the identity theft, this like stolen credit card ring.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Is the narkiest, geekiest shit. Like,
yeah.
What a fucking dweeb. She's like, gosh, I guess Bobby has to serve time now.
And the fact, like, she's like, it just feels very, not so much Go Ask Alice-ish, but like very like sheltered, where it's, she's like, wow, I guess I didn't realize that things had gotten that bad for Bobby. I guess I should have seen through it. Like, it just feels,
she's essentially like, I get the vibe that she is writing her friend off for life. Like, she's not going to be friends with Bobby anymore since she found out that Bobby was like helping her mom and her mom's ex PI boyfriend's fucking low level Corpus Christi credit card theft ring.
That's the other okay. Also, you know how like we've complained about how a lot of times the writer wants us to see something, but not the character whose lens we're looking at everything through to see something. The level at which Jennifer is a complete and utter idiot and things are so fucking obvious.
I knew the fucking second she saw that piece of paper with the like handwriting she recognized. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, was it perhaps the PI writing down your address earlier? The creepy PI that Stella used to date?
Yep.
Was it perhaps him?
Yep.
You fucking idiot. And then
when she's like at the hair salon place and like she's like, I wonder why the neighbor would say that she was working at the hair salon when in fact she was not working at the hair salon. It's like, Jennifer, it's because she fucking knows something. Like,
what makes no sense to me is she says that and then she's like, she must know something.
And then doesn't follow up.
Like, Jack. Or like, does follow up. It's just like the way that she follows up makes no sense.
Yeah, her constant like breaking into the house is pretty weird.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was the other thing. So look, you don't have to heighten all. I mean, you should heighten. But like, you know, you don't always have to be heightening all the time. But like the fact that we see, to me, if you're like a teenager in this very sheltered world and you meet, like you find the like almost dead body of like your friend's creepy stepbrother who's like broken into the house and is like sleeping off like some kind of bender of some kind of like hard drug that you as this like very sheltered teen have never seen. That to me is more scary than, oh my gosh, my friend's mom was like doing a credit card scam. And so to go from like, I just feel like the more intense thing happened like earlier and then like the big, oh my gosh, this was the secret the whole time thing was so anticlimactic.
Yep. It was a very anticlimactic book. Even the way that it eventually like plays out, it happens so fast.
Oh yeah, the final fight scene?
Yeah. It's like she goes, so like Jennifer, first she's like, oh, I need a PI to prove that Bobby didn't do it.
Oh my God, this PI search was so boring.
I know that Stella used to date a PI and he had a silly name and it's something like...
like Ron Ravioli.
Biddle Bodkins or something. It's like something Biddles. Something Biddles Biddle. Yeah.
And, yeah, some bullshit, yeah.
And she's like, I'll go ask him. And he's like fucking trash. His office is a mess. He's a weirdo. He's real cagey about it. He's like, oh, who? I've dated a lot of people.
Oh my God. Right,
Stella. When he was okay, like, I whatever. Can't remember her. Oh, she's dead. Can't remember okay. Mm. When a man has like next to no reaction to finding out a woman he used to date is fucking not only dead, but murdered.
You should freak out.
You found your guy.
Yeah.
You found your fucking guy.
Yeah.
So he has like next to no response to this and is like, oh yeah, I can't do it. All I really do is I do like divorce cases. I like catching people in affairs and it's like real fun for me. But you can go to this like big fancy schmancy place. They do like murder cases. And he sends her off and she goes to the fancy place and the fancy place is like, yeah, absolutely. We'll take this case. We just need like $600,000.
I know. And
it's actually
like,
not even that much, but it's
not that
it's
much.
It's like 1985. And so it is really a lot of money for her. Well, it's like $600 just
for the
first 6 days retainer or something. Yeah. And she only and has 300 for the whole thing.
When she's saying like, when she's like walking around with her 300 big bucks to go and like get somebody to do, I was like, girl, you're not going to hire anybody, which in fact, she does not hire anybody. Because then they're, yeah. And I know that like the big time firm was thrown in there to like have us not like to be distracted, you know, we're distracted. And so we're not like immediately like, okay, that's the only guy, you know, like we're not immediately thinking like, okay, the only PI that she met is that guy. There's the writing and later she finds the writing. Like
we just need, I guess it's thrown in there to separate us from.
Yeah. But it was very boring. So then she goes.
Super boring.
She goes to the police station. Or no. She's like walking around.
She remembers
she's like,
she remembers Lucas from like when she was being questioned.
Yeah.
Somebody was like, oh yeah, that's Lucas. He's like retired. Here's his life story. He's retired, really good at his job, taught us everything we know. We're fucking bumbling, dumb fuck idiots. Yeah, he's great. We all love
Precinct's him. Really been a mess ever since Lucas retired, but he's still always around. He's always doing stuff.
And so she's like, after she know. Like, yeah, after these two people, she's like, oh, there is that Lucas man.
So she goes to Lucas's fucking house, which I was like, girl, don't do this. But he's like, guess what? I'm a sad widower. My wife is
I'm a sad arthritic widower.
Yeah.
I will.
She's so dead. She's so dead.
But he has to like think about it and look into things.
Yeah. And then she's like, your house could really benefit from a woman's touch.
And he's like, thanks. My wife is dead. And I have arthritis. Fuck you.
Oh yeah, the arthritis thing. And she's like, oh, I see. Well, I'd really like for you to investigate my friend Bobby. And he's like, okay, well, I'll have to the way he talks to her is insane. He's like, I'm gonna have to take in all the evidence and catalog it in my mind palace and then think about it for a little bit longer. And she's like, okay, that sounds good. And he's like, no, you must think like me if you're going to be in this industry. And she's like, wait, what? And he's like, my partner, you, me, partners at law.
Well, so she asks him to look into it. And he's like, yeah, let me think about it. And then he calls her later that night and he's like, yeah, I'll do it.
Okay.
Because he does... She truly does not ask to be involved. So he calls
no,
and he
she
says,
has
I
no
talked not only
involved.
To Bobby, but to a couple of detectives who are assigned to the case. They're coming down on Bobby because it looks like a natural. But there's a chance you might be right that someone else killed Bobby's mother. I told them so, and they think I'm off base, but they'll cooperate with us in giving us access to whatever information we need from the department. Absolutely insane.
Isn't
and also
that
illegal.
Convenient?
Oh, Jennifer shouted, then you'll help Bobby? We'll help Bobby, he said. There's a lot of hard work involved in any investigation, and this will be a particularly tough one. We haven't got much to go on. I'm going to need you to work with me. Of course I will. Anything. All of a sudden, they're fucking detectives they're... together. What?
Okay, hold on. Can I read this part to you? Because this is the way that he instantly starts interacting with her.
Yes.
So he's like, now you've learned lesson one, Jennifer. Get names, get addresses, get facts, and write them all down. Because the lesson one is... Because he tasks her with like investigating at school. So she like goes to school and she has the most idiotic interaction with this kid who's like, hey, I just wanted to say I'm sorry about Bobby because like I know you're best friends with her. And she's like, Bobby didn't do it. And he's like, okay, well, anyway, I knew her mom because like my mom used to go into the hair salon where she used to work all the time, but like doesn't anymore because like your mom doesn't work there anymore. And she's like, go away.
Why are you bothering me?
So then she knows she's supposed to be looking for clues. So then she goes back and tells him, it doesn't matter what anyone believes, he said. What matters is what you found out today.
Nothing,
she said. She rubbed furiously at her eyes as though she could grind the tears to a stop. Well, what questions did you ask?
Questions? There weren't many to ask. Nobody really knew Bobby. Alicia said I was Bobby's only friend, and she was right.
Are you sure?
Well, yes. I mean, if Bobby had any other friends, I would have known them, wouldn't I?
Would you?
These voices are exactly what they are.
They are.
This is perfection.
Thank you.
Great job.
They would have been at school.
Oh?
Are you trying to make me angry?
I'm trying to make you think.
I am thinking.
No, you're not. You're reacting. Now sit down. So he makes her sit down. Start with the first person you met and talked to today. Think.
Okay. The first person was a guy who stopped to talk to me about Bobby.
Good. What was his name?
His name? Oh, no. I didn't ask him. He just said he was a neighbor of Bobby's and didn't know her well, but he said his mother knew Bobby's mother.
Why did he talk to you?
He said he just wanted to tell someone he was sorry about Bobby and her mother.
Will you see him again at school?
I don't know. He's a freshman. That's all I know about him, except that he plays basketball.
And he lives in Bobby's neighborhood. There are two facts that'll help you find him in case we need to talk to him again.
But he said he didn't know anything. He told me he was playing basketball, and when he got home, his mother told him about the murder.
That's all he said?
That's all, Mr. Maldonado, honestly.
It takes too long to say Mr. Maldonado. Call me Lucas. Now, you've learned lesson one, Jennifer. Get names, get addresses, get facts, and write them all down.
Everything? Even stuff that isn't important? The fact that
Almighty God in this conversation,
that
Lucas Maldonado is having this conversation with this girl, and he's like, yes, she will make a good investigator.
It's fucking wild. It's buck wild. She truly, and every time he's like, so did you do like the bare minimum of investigating? She's like, why are you being so mean to me all the time? It's the cruelty of your voice whenever you're questioning me. I don't know.
Like, okay. Want,
and it's like, what? Let this girl off the fucking hook already. She is... does she's not know what she's doing. This. She's not, she does not have the temperament for this. She does not have the analytical mind for this. This is a fucking dead weight, Lucas. You are wasting your time.
Aren't we going to go out and talk to someone or do something?
Yes, but slow down. First, I've got some information to share with you. Elton Crambo was released from prison on parole 2 months ago. He regularly reports to his parole officer in San Antonio. As far as the officer's concerned, Elton's come up clean. So Elton's the stepbrother.
But it isn't far from San Antonio to Corpus Christi. He could have been here and his parole officer wouldn't have known about it.
That's right.
So why don't you tell the police and have him arrested?
On what evidence?
On, well, he's a rotten person and, damn, you make everything so hard.
You want to give up?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to sound off. I'm just impatient.
I know you're impatient. It's the worst thing you could be. Impatient people miss important facts. Impatient people charge into a case without getting sufficient evidence. Sometimes impatient people get killed. Do you get my point?
I couldn't miss it.
So, like, this is the kind of investigation she's doing.
Pathetic.
She's so pathetic. She's so stupid. She, like, and also, like, she needs to be, like, fucking, fed by spoon the information to understand
it is
any of it.
Like, here's another scene between them.
Please.
So it's after, oh God, it's a continuation of that same fucking scene you were just reading, actually. So there's no point. It's all the same, but it's just, she is so, and she's like, anytime he tells her the slightest bit of like instruction, she fucking falls apart. Like, she's like, yeah. But he lied. Lots of people lie. There are pathological liars and people who lie to be evil and people who get involved in all sorts of small lies for no particular reason. Or maybe they're scared or trying to cover something or not even related to the case. Maybe they just find it hard to tell any story straight.
There you go again. We're never going to get anything done if you keep giving me all these lectures.
We'll get something done. We'll find out who murdered Bobby's mother and we'll do it the right way.
I don't know what the right way is.
That's what I'm trying to teach you. As it stands now, you're a walking hazard to me as well as to yourself. You've got your safety catch off and you're about as safe to be around as a loaded gun.
I'm sorry, Lucas.
Remember what I've been telling you. Let's go.
Go where?
I've got permission to go inside the tracks house. We're going to look, not touch. Just look.
Okay. What are we going to look for?
We don't know. One thing I found over and over is that murderers are not as clever as they think they are. They'll make a mistake. Maybe they'll leave some clue.
I don't understand. You mean like fingerprints?
It might be a fingerprint or a strand of hair. It might be a blade of grass or a bit of mud from his or her shoes.
Something that small? How will we know it if we see it?
She's so stupid.
This is what I've been trained to do. It's why you came to me for help, right?
I keep saying all the wrong things. I'm sorry.
You'll learn. Come on. Why is he bothering? Why is he bothering?
Like, she is a lost cause.
Falling apart. At completely. Every moment.
Okay, so this is like they walk in to the house and she sees the chalk outline from Stella's body. Mm-hmm. So this is literally the next page.
I think I'm going to.
Go ahead and faint if you want to. You'll come around soon enough.
You don't even care? You just let me lie here?
You don't look faint to me. I don't think I have to worry about you. Why don't you get up and see what you can do to help? And she just stands there. Doesn't really do anything.
Like, okay, so now you've just like fully proven that you weren't going to faint. You were just like putting on a show.
Yeah, because
and you're just like mad at him for not
caring,
babying you about it.
Because if you're gonna like, faint, you can't like
program.
You can't like not faint if you don't want to. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you can't just decide not to faint if it's actually going to happen.
Going to happen.
Yeah.
It's like being like, I think I might get a bloody nose. No, yep. You can't control that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Ugh, okay. So then she's like, oh, okay, this. We're not playing a game. We're not seeing who are the winners or the losers. We're all working for one thing, to gather as many facts as we can to help solve this case.
Well, in detective shows on TV...
Forget what you've seen on television. It has nothing to do with life.
Can we turn on a light? It's getting dim in here.
We're almost through. And then he makes her, like, look around in the dark. It's crazy that he won't let her turn on a light. That's pretty insane. Oh, and then this part, I was like, okay. Jennifer jumped guiltily as Lucas suddenly appeared beside her, his mouth close to her ear. Keep looking in the drawer.
What?
Don't look up. Look in the drawer. We've got a visitor outside. Someone's watching us from the yard beyond the back window. And then she runs into the kitchen and falls down.
And then she sees something that does set off an alarm bell in her head of like, oh, I've seen that handwriting somewhere before.
Yes, the handwriting.
And so she grabs it, which is helpful because then that's where I immediately figured out it was the Biddle guy.
Yeah, because that was the last guy we saw write something.
And she doesn't share this with fucking Lucas. All she had to do is go, I recognize this. I just saw this handwriting somewhere. I think that this is significant in some way. I don't know in what way yet, but let's hang on to it. And he'd be like, okay, great. Put a pin in it.
And he would probably ask her questions that would like lead her to it.
Yeah,
too.
Like, well, what does this seem to you? Does this seem like the handwriting of a man or a woman? Like,
who did you see recently?
Young person. Yeah. Who did you talk to recently? Whose handwriting you might have seen? What are the, and he would have gotten it out of her and this book would have been over by page 70.
I know. Instead, she's just like, These
interminable fucking interviews that she's trying to carry on with.
Oh my God. All of her interviews. Also, like, the fact that he trusts her at all to do any, like, because he's not only like, hey, come with me and, like, help me look for things, because that doesn't make sense, right? Because he knows that she knows what the place looks like normally, mm-hmm. so he could be like, what looks different? Because she does notice that the picture frames are gone.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But the thing that is, like, what on, like, this is bad police work on his part, I think. Because if you have a CI, not that she is a CI, but if you have a CI... You want to make sure that, like, they are getting you any information at all. But he's like, okay, just, like, do some investigating on your own at school. And, like, from his interactions with her, he should know she has no business doing any kind of investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Because when she comes back to him, she's always like, I didn't find out anything.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Really? You didn't find out anything? You didn't ask anybody anything? Like, just keep your eyes open, stupid.
She sees stuff all the time and refuses to share it with him on the basis that he will then not want to work with her because it indicates either the case is getting more dangerous or she's being targeted by the murderer, which is all the most helpful stuff.
Yeah.
None of which gets shared with this man.
Also, okay, imagine that you come home. Right. Like, so imagine that you are Jennifer. Okay. I mean, not specifically, but like your friend's mom got murdered and your friend is like the suspect or whatever. And you have started working with this retired cop to try and prove that she didn't do it. And you come home late and you're raised by your grandmother and your dad. And they're like, hey, why are you so late? And you're like, oh, let me introduce you to who I've been spending all my time with. This retired cop. And he's like, yes, she's my partner in investigating this murder. And like, I just feel like like I'm thinking about it, like my parents would not have been like, oh, okay,
like you're old enough to know what you're doing. It's like, I have so many questions for this man,
because also we
because
know
all
how
the
stupid...
questions I have as a reader.
Yeah. And we know how stupid Jennifer is, like she probably like gets locked in the bathroom all the time. Like, you expect her to be able to solve a crime that, like, a murder?
Yeah,
she's gonna get killed.
Much like, you mean my Jennifer?
Yes. Or I'd be like, okay, so you're like letting her
help you on this investigation.
Yeah. Okay. I'm like, you're like letting her think she's like helpful, right? And he's like, no, no, no. I'm actually having her do some investigation. I'd be like,
okay.
Jennifer.
What has she done so far?
He's like, oh, she fell down in a kitchen. And I'd be like, sounds about right.
Yeah, that sounds like Jennifer. So let me get this straight. The cops think they have the right person, are not going to continue to investigate themselves, but are sharing all of their police work with you?
And they're fine with this. In fact, they're helping you. Okay.
Okay. No, the answer is no.
I would think that the answer is deranged.
The answer is like, get away from my teenage daughter.
Yes. Yes. Like, I know that your wife just died.
To groom her.
And yeah, you're trying to like look for a new wife, but it's not going to be my daughter.
Mm-hmm. I'll pay you. I'll cover your fees to look into this, because probably Bobby didn't do it. But no, my daughter will not be assisting you in this investigation, except for if you want to drop by and ask her questions.
Sure.
Based on stuff that you have found. Sure. I am fine. I'm comfortable with that. She will not be accompanying you. She will not be going around to her classmates asking questions when there's a fucking killer on the loose, possibly. No. The answer is no. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Okay. Also, the...
Who should I make the check out to?
Yeah. Do you have like a holding company or...
Yeah.
So...
LLC?
She also gets like scared about... these scary calls that start happening. And the weird thing is that the scary calls are not, they're not like related to the crime. So the crime is that this woman was strangled with a scarf. Mm-hmm. And first, I think that what happened was that this bad PI started doing this call and freaked out. And he's like, I don't have a character. Because when she picks up, he says, watch out, little girl. And she's just like, what? Literally, it says, Jennifer's mind was a blank, cold, hollow. So there's nothing. Nothing's happening in her mind. She's just like, what?
What?
And he's like, oh, excuse me. Dead men tell no tales. Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum. And then he's like, shit, what am I doing? That was so weird.
That was, am I a pirate?
And like, why would I be a pirate in this situation? And then she's like, hey, what kind of a jerk are you? All this dumb stuff isn't funny. Are you playing some kind of joke? And then he drops the pirate. He's like, I can't do any more pirate shit. Like, this is, Sunny's just like, no joke. Back off, Jennifer. And then this last part's supposed to be really scary. And he says, or else. But to me, reads as him being like, I didn't come up with a specific threat. I don't have. I started doing this weird character. At a loss. So he's just like, or else. And she's like,
no.
This guy called me.
He better not share it so I can stay on the case that I never asked to be a part of.
So in the next chapter, we can then reread this knowing kind of this guy's vibe, okay? So then he's like, so because we keep getting like the stalker / murderers chapters that are very short. They're like paragraphs long. So right after this like weird prank call thing, we get into his mind and it's like, can she be warned off? Will that get rid of her? It's worth a try. Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum. That was funny, right? At least it was funny to me. And it scared her, right?
Clever, yeah. Question mark.
That's what I wanted to do. Scare her good.
Clever, right?
Because, you know, everyone knows yo ho ho and a bottle of rum, you know? That's like scary. Is that scary?
That's scary, right? I think it's scary.
Because that ride has skeletons and that's scary.
Oh, what if she hasn't been to Disneyland?
We're
in Texas. She may not have known. Ever seen that ride? Maybe she's watched like it. Some Wonderful World of Disney special.
Shit.
Mm.
Well,
I've already done it. I gotta
keep going or else. And then she's fine. She's like kind of scared, but not really. And then she's like, Lucas,
Lucas.
And then she, you know, the food that she cooks sounds really good. She made these, like, this applesauce that sounded really good. It was like apples with margarine and brown sugar and cinnamon.
Honestly, Jennifer should just marry Mark and be a wife.
Yeah, she should. She needs
She's very caring.
Yeah,
the grandma can live with them.
Yeah.
The end of the book.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, we've already said it was Biddle, blah, blah, blah. He's been following her around. There's a whole, they have been taking, because it's 1985, they've just been taking the carbon copies of credit card receipts out of trash cans. And then they, like, found a way to, like, manufacture credit cards.
Yeah, just, like, make fake ones with real numbers.
And then I think selling it elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And also just keeping it. And Bobby was a part of this. Also, Stella wasn't Bobby's real mom. They find that out at a certain point. And so they've just, but like, they were all in on it together, this sad Trax family. And at some point, like, Jennifer is like, remembers how she's like, did they ever, I don't know why she asks this. She's like, oh, did they ever find Stella's purse, her handbag? And Lucas is like, oh, I don't think that was on the evidence list. She's like, oh, interesting. Well, I'm just going to keep it to myself that I know exactly where the handbag is.
Oh, my God. I know.
And I'm going to come back for it later. And she, like, goes back and she gets the handbag. And that's where she finds all the fake credit cards.
She also never really says why she did that.
The quote unquote stuff that the killer is looking for the entire book. She does not say why she does it. She doesn't say why she keeps that fact from Lucas.
Nope.
Because that's not necessarily an indication of her being in danger. It doesn't make any sense. So anyway, then she like goes back to the house again to look for other stuff. One of the brothers shows up, Elton or Eaton or whatever his name is. And then Biddle shows up. There's a brief fight. Lucas, she had said something to Lucas about going to the house. He's like, don't go to the house. She's like, okay, I won't. And he's like, that bitch is going to the house. So he shows up at the house, assuming that she did what he told her not to do, and saves the day, and it's fine. And then he's like, it's all this stuff about, well, now that you've wrapped this case up, you're basically a cop.
When he says that to her, I was like, what?
He's like, you can't get married, you have to be a detective. And I was like, no, marry Mark.
Truly,
marry Mark,
like,
it's your best future.
Like, this is, it's not a good future for her. I like, not to be all like trad wife, but like, for some, maybe that's like the best option. Like, cause I don't think she has any instincts at all. And I know that, I think that for whatever profession you're doing, no matter what, of course you can be trained to be good at something, but I think in order to be truly great at anything, you have to have some kind of instincts somewhere, something, you know, like
she
maybe
absolutely never even asked to be involved. It never crossed her mind to do this kind of work. It rattled her the whole time. She had any instinct she did have, she then didn't share with Lucas to help the case. She did everything wrong.
And also, this is the other thing, another example of why she's bad at investigating. She has no, like, inquisitiveness or, like, because when he says, this is my partner, she's not like, what? She's like, oh, I didn't know. And that's it.
Yep.
Like, no, like, oh, well, maybe not. Like, no thinking for herself at all. She's just like, yes, I guess that's what I am.
Yep.
And the fact that he announces that in public too, so she can't say no. That's like when someone in your chat tries to like push you around on, you know, when they're like, we're best friends, and you're like, wait, don't do that on my chat, because like, I don't know you. And
we didn't discuss this beforehand.
Yeah.
She is like, it says Jennifer rolled into a ball of misery. This is after Lucas's come and save the day. Rolled into a ball of misery, crying until her sobs were only dry gulps. Finally, she said, I knew when I realized that Mr. Biddle had gone to see Bobby. It all added up, but I didn't really want to know. It's tough now, but you'll get over it. I don't think I ever will. You learn to when you're a cop.
I'm not a cop!
Have you thought about becoming one? you're pig-headed and lippy and you don't even know what the word patience means, but I think you're smart enough to learn to do things right.
She's not smart.
Crazy.
Think about it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Are you crazy?
Take a couple of years at Del Mar College, then try the Academy entrance exam. I believe you've got what it takes.
I haven't got enough money to go to college. I'm supposed to get married after I graduate in May.
I'll ask around. We ought to be able to come up with a scholarship for you. Why is he doing this?
He's trying to relive.
And she's like, what?
Yeah. Because she doesn't want to. She's not good at it. I think he's just trying to like pretend that he has a daughter or, you know what I mean? Like he's trying to like relive whatever. So he's like, yeah, we'll get this done and we'll do this for you and do that. And she's like, well, I guess I will just go along with that because I don't really have any spine. And then at the end is like, maybe I will do that, but I'm not going to get married anytime soon. And I'm not saying that you should marry. I'm not saying that you should marry someone just because they ask you, right? No way. Like, you should live your life, and marriage is not right for everyone and whatever. However, it does seem like the best option for her is to get married to Mark, have grandma move in. They can cook all these delicious pot roasts and potatoes, scalloped potatoes and applesauce with pork chops. She does run a good house. That was funny.
And I'm sorry to be so stereotypical about
trad wife,
but like she's really nurturing, and she keeps a good house.
She does.
She is well suited to be a housewife.
And it's not the only that she's good at it, but she likes it. Like she likes taking care of her grandma and taking care of her dad.
Let
and then
this
now
girl
with this
be a
like
fucking wife.
Yeah, and also this the dad's I mean, I had to kind of be on the new wife's side, right? When dad
100%.
Dad marries
Gloria
new wife.
Seemed real nice.
She seemed really nice.
Well, they also absolutely never said that grandma couldn't live with them, that anything was going to change. Grandma was just assuming.
Right. And on top of it, this is the other thing, right? I think dad needs to tend his garden a little bit because it was clear that Gloria did not know that grandma was going to be still living with them when she moved in, which like that would be a bad surprise, right? Like I don't care. Like,
why would that be a surprise? He lives with her.
Well, I think maybe she assumed, oh, we're going to like get a place of our own and like whatever, because she's going to be, you know, daughter's going to be going off to college or whatever. Like, I just feel like some kind of communication needed to happen between grandma, Gloria, and dad.
It seemed like dad and Gloria had been dating for about 3 weeks.
It did seem pretty quick. And then they were like, we're getting married. And then she's going to move in.
And Jennifer was like really happy for them.
Yeah, that was sweet. And and Gloria seemed to like Jennifer and like was really trying with grandma. And grandma was just being kind of a bitch, but it was because she was projecting her own insecurities.
She was just assuming that like Gloria would want her out.
Yeah. Which like, I mean, yes and no. Maybe I'm just really selfish, but like, I'm not saying like me personally, but like if I were Gloria and I were going into this family and like Grammy, who's always kind of been a bitch to me, it's like, oh, do I want to live with this woman? I'd probably lean towards no. It's not like I wouldn't marry the dad because of that, but it would be a conversation I'd be having with the dad, which I'd be like,
it all depends. Yeah.
Like, what's the deal? Because, like, can she live on her own? Is she able to live on her own? Or is she, you know? Yeah.
It's unclear. But that's clearly where Jennifer's talents lie.
Yeah, because Jennifer's constantly, like, making dinner, making dessert, cleaning the house, and like her and Grammy kind of like split the responsibilities of making the dinners, and all the dinners sound really good.
It doesn't seem like it. It seems like Grandma really squawks anytime Jennifer is not making it. Like, I'm not saying I want a life for Jennifer where she's slaving away for her grandmother at all times, but
that woman's not going to be around forever.
Grandma needs her, and your meals sound delicious.
They do. You know what? After reading about her pot roast, I made a pot roast.
Nice.
And it turned out really good. I was actually very happy.
Jennifer inspires.
She does.
Jennifer inspires when she's doing what she's good at.
She didn't inspire me to become a cop. She inspired me to make a pot roast.
Yes.
So.
And you made a really good one.
I did make a really good one. And I was quite happy with it. But yeah, I think she should stick to her strengths, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let's be real about the things that we're good at.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that give us joy. And I think she needs to just be, she just needs to be a wife to Mark. Marcus?
Mark.
Mark. And, oh, I got confused because Lucas. And like, and you know what? Like, be a friend. Like, maybe she comes over and brings pies to Luke. You know what I mean? Like, maybe she, not that I'm saying that she has to take care of all these men in her life, but I just mean she likes being a nurturing person towards like those who can't care for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Exhibit A being Grammy. So maybe she comes over every once in a while and like her and Mark help old Lucas clean up his house or something, you know? Mm-hmm. And she like leaves him a casserole or like a pie or something. Because then she can still keep Lucas in her life because apparently they're like best friends now.
Mm-hmm. It's just like Lucas needs to stop forcing her into fucking law enforcement.
You know what? He probably would have been a tough dad.
Really tough dad.
Because he would have just been like, oh, well, you're going to become a
cop.
2 seconds,
and he was dadding her into being a cop.
And he successfully
barely know each other. Yeah, and he wins.
Yeah.
And she is clearly going to become a cop. And it's like, okay, well, enjoy your lifetime of misery.
Because he literally says, treat this future officer kindly. Let's get down to business.
Mm-hmm. And then she's like, okay, where do I start?
Yeah, her thoughts are, whatever I decide, I hope Mark will understand. Jennifer thought, but she put Mark out of her mind as she tugged her notebook out of her pocket and asked, where do you want me to start? So like, she's definitely
just does whatever she's told.
Yeah, she like the latest information is her mind.
Yep.
Have you ever met people like that?
Mm-hmm.
Who like they just believe like whatever and they mm-hmm. have no sense of like double checking sources or anything.
Or like critical thinking skills. Yeah.
None whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's her. She's just like, okay.
Oh, and I think really you need.
I do feel bad for her. I just think you need critical thinking skills to be a good detective. And I just don't.
She's not. She doesn't have the temperament. She doesn't have the desire. She doesn't have the drive.
No.
She doesn't have the brain.
And that's okay, Lucas.
Which is fine. So don't make her do this.
Maybe he doesn't know that he can hang out with her. Like if she's not
just
being
like
a cop.
Hang out
just
with hang her out. As a homekeeper. Homemaker. Homekeeper.
As like a caretaker,
like
as a hospice
she can come
taker,
by and the woman's touch will be hers.
Yeah,
she look, can come by and dust your fucking house
her,
and help
yeah,
you do
have
the
her
dishes.
Over for like afternoon tea or whatever. Yeah. She
so
can
desperate to stay in touch with this girl. Come on,
I know. Not that we're saying that 65-year-old men should be friends with.
No, I'm just saying that these two
18-year-olds
is the right situation for these two
yeah.
fucking weirdos.
What we can say is that this relationship's already been made. You know what I'm yep. saying? So mm-hmm. we have to make the best of it.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
That was the book.
It was
strange.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty
was
boring,
pretty
but
bored.
I liked it.
I was pretty yeah. bored, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah. It was pretty boring, but I liked it. Because
I
was kind
it's
of
very skippable.
It's pretty skippable. I did think that the relationship between her and the cop was perplexing. So I was interested to see where it was going because I was like, "What is happening here?" Like the second he called her his partner, I was like, mm. "I was like, I'll keep reading
oh, that's
this."
What this book is?
Yeah, I was like, "Okay."
Yeah, I will say, Stalker, not a great title.
No, because it's not about stalking.
That's not the killer's vibe.
No. Okay, what would you say would be the good title for this?
Who Killed Stella?
Who Killed Laura Palmer?
Who Killed Stella? Who Killed Stella Trax?
Yeah, Who Killed Stella Trax?
Or Clearing Her Name.
Yeah.
Or
like, Bobby didn't do it.
Yeah.
Bobby's on the beach. Or, I shouldn't be a cop.
That's what it should be called.
I shouldn't yeah. be a cop. I'm Jennifer.
Yeah. So that's the book. Yeah. It was a big whatever for me.
Yeah. Best I can say about it, it was short.
Pretty short.
It's one of our classic. The only good thing I can say about this book is, you know what? It was pretty short.
As they all are. They're all pretty yeah. short books that we read.
Sometimes we read a long
more
one.
So than others.
Sometimes. But
well, then there's, you know, outside genre for Patreon, which is always yeah. like 5 hours.
Patreon.com/teencreeps.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, thank you so much to everybody for listening. And thank you so much, everyone who supports the podcast on Patreon. Again, patreon.com/teencreeps. If you would like to support the podcast and get access to extra episodes that we put out on Patreon. And a special shout out to our Patreon producers, Aaron Fernandez,
Adam Howitz,
Amanda Nengel,
Amy T,
Anne Dwyer,
Ashley Fritz,
Brian Petty II,
Claire Moore,
Courtney McPhail,
Danielle LaManna,
Danny B,
Drew W,
Emma,
Aaron B,
Gabriella Santiago,
Gianna Fernandez,
Gwendolyn Ludovic.
I don't. Okay.
What's going on?
I just accidentally highlighted everything and it like wasn't letting me scroll. Okay. What did you just read?
Gwendolyn Ludovic.
Jeremy Kronk.
Jeremy Goodfellow and Marco Pavlicic.
Jessica Smith Harper.
Jessica Yu.
Jonathan Venable.
Karen Lewis.
Kat Miller.
Katie Lilly.
Katie Olsner.
Keith Anderson.
Kelly Burns.
Kodiak S.
Christerina.
Landry Desmond.
Larry Nguyen.
Laura Hooper.
Luke Bartek.
Mandalay Wolschlager.
Max B.
Megan Lozier.
Mel Leos.
Melody.
Micah Yunus.
Miguel Camacho.
Miranda Hester.
Molly G.
Molly Marks.
Noah Spargo.
Rachel Bessert.
Randy Klett.
Rebecca Goss.
Rogue Kalahua.
Saoirse Descaro.
Sarah Wallen.
Sasha Gibson.
Sylvie T.
Tristan Buckner.
Victoria Beck.
Victoria Gray.
And Victoria Valdez.
Yay!
Thank you, everyone. We will see you next week. The book we are reading was sent to us by a listener. Unfortunately, I have lost track of who sent this one to us.
Right. So if it was you, let us know.
So sorry. But the book we're reading is Fan Mail by Nicole Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
So we
can't wait to get into that one.
Yeah. We'll see you then. In the meantime, please get vaccinated if you haven't already. Get boosted if you haven't already. And keep it creepy.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.